Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Listen then to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him. Take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held he was a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Okay, here we go. How many of you guys have ever played Trivial Pursuit? Yeah, that's one of my favorite board games. Now, and one of the reasons that, I guess because I got a head full of not much of what else matters, but I got a lot of trivia up there. And because of that, one of the places that I often spend my part of my Wednesday evening is it's at Odie's Deli playing pub trivia. No, and they're not paying me to make an announcement, so. But I'm usually there most Wednesdays doing that. And what I thought we'd do today is we're going to have, since we're not at Odie's, we're going to have our own little pub trivia quiz. So you get to play pub trivia. So grab your pencil and your paper. I'm going to ask you, we got three rounds, and you're going to write down the answers to the following questions. Are you ready? Okay. What I want you to do is name the seven ingredients of the Big Mac. Now, a few years ago, there was a catchy little jingle that had that in there. So what are the ingredients? What are the things that make up a Big Mac? And no, and you're not allowed to look on somebody else's paper. No using your iPhones. You know, this is just trivia. What do you know? You don't have to have correct spelling, just get, you know. All right, got to write fast. Otherwise, it's going to be a really long sermon. All right, question number two. Name the seven dwarves. Hey, go to pub trivia. You get things like this all the time. Name the seven dwarves. No looking on your neighbor's paper or talking. I'm keeping track here. Okay. There are seven dwarves, not two. Okay. Question number three. Write down the Ten Commandments. Fine, just go. Write them down. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 does not count. I want to know the actual commandment. Do 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 do. I got to have some fun up here, you know. And no opening your Bibles to find it either. And you already heard the answers once this morning, so you should get these. Okay, I'm going to give you 30 seconds and then we're going to move on because we got to keep moving here. Anybody that's in my confirmation class better get all these right too. I give you another year. Okay, you got 10 seconds. Now you're down to 5. Okay, time's up. All right. Big Mac. 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I always want to say a sesame street bun. I don't know why, but a sesame seed bun. Okay, 7 dwarves we have. Doc, sneezy, grumpy, happy, bashful, sleepy, and dopey. All right. Now, 10 commandments. There's a little variation in here, so we're going to go both ways. Just depends. First one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, and this depends on how you were taught when you were growing up. It could be you shall not make any graven images, or it could be you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay, either one of those. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, don't bear false witness, which is don't lie, I'll take that. And then depending on how you did with number 2, it could be don't covet, or it could be broken into 2 halves, don't covet your neighbor's wife, and then don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Okay? So, I'm not going to ask you how you did, but a few years ago, they did a little survey. They went around asking people things like, how much do you know about the Big Mac, and how much do you know about the Ten Commandments? So they went out and they asked the average American, they said, what can you tell us about it? 80% of Americans knew that a Big Mac consisted of 2 all-beef patties, while just over 50% knew that thou shalt not kill was one of the Ten Commandments. And only 14% could get all 10 correct. What was even more interesting is when they went and they asked the churchgoers and the synagogue goers. They knew more about the Big Mac than they did the Ten Commandments. Isn't that amazing? I thought it was just fascinating. Now, we could spend a lot of time going over those Ten Commandments. If we went over them one by one, I could take hours on each one. Oh, I brought a little visual prop with me today, too. Since I got to play Moses in Bible school this year. Ta-da! Okay. So we have the Ten Commandments here. Just as a little reminder. Anyway, we can spend a lot of time, but we're not going to do that. What we want to do is, instead of looking at each one individually, what we want to do is take a look at kind of like the whole thing. Why do we have these things? What purpose do they play in our lives today? What function does Jesus say that they have? Now, we're told that as Lutherans and as Christians, we live under grace rather than law, which is true. However, people who live under grace, that's us, need to realize that the Ten Commandments are actually about God's grace. Okay? They actually are about God's grace. And I'm going to show you this because Jesus said the following. Commandments they're not thrown out by any stretch of the imagination. Jesus said, don't suppose for a minute I've come to demolish the scripture, either God's law or the prophets. I'm going to make it complete. God's law is more lasting than the stars. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you trivialize yourself. So according to Jesus, the Ten Commandments are still important. We're not to trivialize them. We're supposed to make them a part of our lives. And actually, the word that's used there for commandment, when you think of commandment, what do you think about? This is your turn. What do you think about when you hear the word commandment? You got to speak loud. I'm sorry, what? Order. Direction. Directness. Thou shalt or thou shalt not. Yep, getcha. And actually what the word means, when you translate it, is this. It means instruction, guidance, direction. It's not about some concrete thing written on a block of stone. It's to guide us. However, one of the problems that happens in life sometimes is that when we take our image of God and our image of the Ten Commandments kind of gets jumbled up sometimes. We think of God as this guy sitting up in heaven. You don't have to raise your hand if you've ever had this image. This guy sitting up in heaven, scoping you out with his giant telescope. You know, keeping an eye on you. Just waiting for you to step out of line. Because if you do, he's got a bag full of thunderbolts on this side and a big old hunkin' 2x4 over on this side. And you get out of line, he's either going to throw one or whomp you on the head with it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, that image terrified the living daylights out of me. And every once in a while, I still get childish and I think about that. And I do something, or I think something, and I'm going, whoop, as if God's going to get me. And I want to sidestep real fast because I'm afraid. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. When you live that way, when you live in fear, you don't live. You just kind of exist. When you live in fear, all the joy, all the life is just sucked right out of you, like into a giant black hole. When you live in fear, how can you love? And that's what we're called to do. To do what? Love the Lord our God. But if you're running around all the time ducking stuff, how do you love? How do you tell other people about God? Hey, I really want to tell you about God. He's a great person. Let me tell you, he loves you more than anything else in the whole world. As a matter of fact, he loved you so much, he died on a cross so that you could be free from your sins. All you have to do is to believe that that's true. That's all I got to do? Yeah. Well, you know, anything else? There's a few things that, you know, he wants you to follow his rules. How many of them are there? Just 10. That's all? Yeah. What happens if I get out of line? Oh, don't worry. He just hits you once or twice with a 2x4 and zaps you with a lightning bolt. Now, that really makes people want to believe in God, doesn't it? Isn't that a loving image to portray? And yet, isn't that how we often feel? Isn't that how we often think of God? Not as somebody who loves us. Well, I mean, yeah, we do. But he's also, at the same time, he's kind of like this thing that just wants to suck everything out of our lives because we're afraid of what we might do or what we might say. Commandments aren't about fear. They're about response. They're about relationship. They're about response to love. You don't keep the commandments in order to make God love you. You can't. You cannot make God love you. Okay? Can you make the person sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, love you? Can you make them? I know the wives are all going, yeah. No, you can't. You can't make them. Love is a response to what's given. And what God has given us is life and freedom. And because of what God has done for us, we respond in return. And the way we respond is by living these out. They're not about what we have to do in order to earn God's love. It's how we respond to a God who's loved us. It's just like, how do you respond to the individual who you share your life with who loves you? It's not what about you have to do, it's what you do. And that's what? It's about a new life, a different way of living life. And we call that the God life or kingdom life. And if you take the Ten Commandments and you take the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' guideline for how he wants his disciples to live and act because of what God's done, they're not two opposite things. They're two things that dovetail together. They're all about the same thing. They're not about suppressing us. They're about freeing us to act and live in a new and different way than we've ever acted and lived before in our lives. A way to act and live that those people around us don't necessarily live. It's all about relationship. And if you read through the Gospels, if you read through the Bible, so much of what's in there is all about relationship. And that's what the commandments are about. You know, you can break them down into two parts. How do you relate to God? How do you relate to one another? This is how we respond to God. This is how you respond to the people around you. It's real simple. We get so focused on you shall not that we forget that the commandment has with it another part, which is unspoken, which is you shall. If you shall not kill, what should you do? Nothing? Hi, I see you over there. Sorry, nobody's killing you, so you're okay. You take care. You shall not commit adultery. Fine. But it also means that we treat human beings, we treat people as human beings and not commodities to be used, sold, or abused. You don't lie. If you don't lie, what do? You tell the truth. You don't bear false witness. If you don't bear false witness, what do? You build one another up. If you're to have no other gods before me, what do? You make God the most important thing in your life. That's what it's all about, a different way of living. It's not so much about what we don't do, but what we do. How do we live out this relationship that we have with our Lord? And that's what... Glad these aren't made of rock. That's what these things are all about. How do we live out that relationship with God? They're an important part of our lives. They're not something to be trivialized. Now think about it. If you can remember to all beef patties. Oh, you guys are bad on that. Come on again. If you can remember to all beef patties. It's lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. Good. Then... can you remember 10 things? Yeah, we put it to music. I'm sure we can put it to music. 10 things. Not hard. Not hard to remember. Hard to do sometimes, but not hard to remember. But those 10 things are 10 things that change life. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.